All glories assembled devotees. All glories assembled devotees. All glories assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So today we're going to be reading from Second Canto, Part 2. Chapter 7 and verse 8, which I'm sure you've all practiced. So, Virhasa patne dita patribi anti rajo. Palopi san ubagatas tapase. Wait a second, this is not the right meter. But Virhasa patne dita patribi anti rajo. Balo pisan ubhagatas tapasevanani. Tasma ada juvagatim grinate prasanam. Divyastu vanti munayo yadupar yadasta. Virhasa patyudita patribir anti rajno. Balo pisan upagatas tapase vanani. Balo pisan upagatas tapase vanani. Tasma ada juvakatim grinate pasano. Divyas tuvanti munayo yadupaya rasta. Please repeat. Virhasa patni ditapati biranti vajna. Valopi sanu pagatasta puse vanani. Tasma adaju vagatim grimate pasano. Divyas tuvanti munayo yadupayudastat. Virhasa patni dita patri biranti vajno. Balapisan pagatasta pasevanani. Tasma adatu vagatim grinate prasano. Divyastu vantimunayo yadupayadashtat. Any ladies? Students. Virhasa patni dita patri biranti rajno. Balopi sanu pagatasta pasevanani. Tasma da juva vachim nate prasano. Divyas tuvanti munayo yadupaya dastat. Vihasa patni dita patri biranti rajno. Balopi sanu pagatasta pasevanani. Tasma adaju vagatim grinate prasano. Divyas tuvanti munayo yadupaya dastat. Virha pinched. Pinched by. Sapatni, a co-wife. Udita, uttered by. Patribi, by sharp words. Anti, just before. Rajna, of the king. Mbala, a boy. Api, although. Son, being so. Upagata, took to. Tapase, severe penances. Vanani, in a great forest. Tasmai, therefore. Adat, gave as a reward. Dhruvagatim, a path to the Dhruva planet. Grinache, on being prayed for. Prasanna, being satisfied. Divya, denizens of higher planets. Stuvanti, do pray. Munaya, great sages. Yat, thereupon. Upari, up. Arastat, down. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Being insulted by sharp words spoken by the co-wife of the king, even in his presence, Prince Dhruva, though only a boy, took to severe penances in the forest. And the Lord, being satisfied by his prayer, awarded him the Dhruva planet, which is worshipped by great sages, both upward and downward. Being insulted by sharp words, spoken by the co-wife of the king, even in his presence, Prince Dhruva, though only a boy, took to severe penances in the forest. And the Lord, being satisfied by his prayer, awarded him the Dhruva planet, which is worshipped by great sages, both upward and downward. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Mangala Tamarantisya Ganakana Salakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this is a wonderful purport that I'm sure everyone can relate to in some way, and it should spur some good discussion and some things they can really learn from this purport. When he was only 5 years old, Prince Dhruva, a great devotee and the son of Maharaj Uchinapada, was sitting on the lap of his father. His stepmother did not like the king's patting her stepson, so she dragged him out, saying that he could not claim to sit on the lap of the king because he was not born out of her womb. The little boy felt insulted by this act of his stepmother. Nor did his father make any protest, for he was too attached to his second wife. After this incident, Prince Dhruva went to his own mother and complained. His real mother also could not take any step against this insulting behavior, and so she wept. The young boy inquired from his mother how he could sit on the royal throne of his father, and the poor queen replied that only the Lord could help him. The boy inquired where the Lord could be seen, and the queen replied that it is said that the Lord is sometimes seen by great sages in the dense forest. The child prince decided to go into the forest to perform severe penances in order to achieve his objective. So here we have this situation. So what's wrong with this picture? What have we just heard? And what's wrong with it? Yes. On his father's lap, that's right. Right, and the stepmother would not let him do it. She actually had some very unkind words, which we'll talk about. And what else is wrong with this picture? It's true, the stepmother, she dragged him off the king's lap. And what else? Something else happened here that's not right. Yes. Yeah, his stepmother did that. And what did the father do? What did King Uttanapada do? Yes.
Nothing.
So that, you can imagine how hurtful that would be, right? First of all, how many people here are 5 years old? Anybody here 5 years old? You're all a little older than that. Okay, but you can remember what it was like to be 5 years old. You're just trying to get up on your father's lap. He's the king, and the stepmother drags you down. So how painful that would be. And then the father doesn't even say anything like, well, what are you doing? How come you're doing that? And why doesn't he say anything? Why doesn't he say anything, the father? Yes. He's too attached, right? He's too attached. Thank you. Thank you for that. So that's very significant, because sometimes in a situation where something's wrong and we may know about it, we may see it, but we don't say anything or do anything, we get a little bit of the karma for that, or the blame for that. Prince Dhruva performed a stringent type of penance under the instruction of his spiritual master, Sri Narada Muni, who was specifically deputed for this purpose by the personality of Godhead. Prince Dhruva was initiated by Narada into chanting the hymn composed of 18 letters, namely, you can say it with me if you want, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So he went to the forest and he chanted that hymn, and Lord Vasudeva incarnated himself as Prishnagarbha, the personality of Godhead, with four hands, and awarded the prince a specific planet above the seven stars. Prince Dhruva, after achieving success in his undertaking, saw the Lord face to face, and he was satisfied that all his needs were fulfilled. So this happens to Dhruva, and the first thing he did, he goes to his mother, and he's crying. You know, he's so upset. This is what happened. I tried to get up on my father's lap. My stepmother pulled me down. She said I couldn't. And she only said did that, but she said, if you want to sit on your father's lap, you'll have to be born again into my womb. And then you'll be qualified to sit. And I said, basically, she's saying, you're going to have to die and be born again from me in order to sit on your father's lap. So when he goes to tell his mother that, she's so upset that it says her face becomes kind of like a burnt leaf, you know? She's just kind of like dried up and so hurt that this could happen. But, you know, also stepmother said, not only do you have to like take birth again, but first you should go and you worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Jiva's mother said, well, this instruction that your stepmother gave you is actually correct. You should go worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because no matter what is right or what is wrong, it's always important to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And she also says something that's very important. She says, don't wish anything bad upon your stepmother or anyone, because, does anybody know why? Yes? Sure. Do you know why? She says not to say anything bad. Okay, well, very good. We're all devoted to Krishna. Why else? Sure. You'll get karma. She actually said when you wish something bad about somebody, it'll come back on you. So think about that for a minute. Somebody insults you and you're wishing something bad happened to them, but instead, it's going to come back on you. So, and she also said, if you want to worship the Supreme Person of Godhead, the best place to go is to go to the forest. So that's not so easy for us to do, but that's what Dhruva does. And in the first month of Dhruva, every 3 days, he just eats fruits and berries, if you can imagine that, just eating fruits and berries every 3 days. And the second month, second month, 30 days, all he eats every 6 days is dried grass and leaves. So dried grass and leaves is not very appetizing. The third month, Dhruva only drinks water every 9 days. So you think of, you know, Nirjal Ekadashi, and trying to do that even for one day is super difficult, and he does it every 9 days. And it explains that Dhruva, especially because he was born into a Kshatriya family, he has a lot of determination, and he has a certain kind of pride, you know, that he's very offended what happened. He knows that it's wrong. In the fourth month, Dhruva, he perfects the breathing process. So, you know, the breathing process, pranayama, is very, very powerful. And he only breathes once every, not very often. So he becomes so powerful that actually the demigods are affected by it and, you know, have to intervene. So Dhruva is performing all these austerities, and the main thing he's doing is he's thinking of Krishna in his heart. You know, he's meditating on Krishna in his heart. And when he does it for so long, he's seeing Krishna in his heart. He's seeing his beautiful form. He's seen his beautiful garland. He's seen the bells around his waist. He's seen his helmet. He's seen his shark-shaped earrings. You know, he's seen his black curly hair. And all of a sudden, he can't see it anymore. So what does he do? What does he do when he can't see it anymore? Yes.
Just die and go back to
He what? That's a... Yeah, well, what he first does, good for you, is he opens his eyes. And much to his surprise, because he thought Krishna was gone, he's standing right in front of him. He's standing right in front of him, and it says that he's so amazed to see Krishna standing right in front of him that it's like he's drinking Krishna with his eyes, and that he's kissing his lotus feet over and over and over again, and he's embracing Krishna with his arms. And when he sees Krishna like that, he no longer feels any more animosity towards anyone. It says he understands the whole Vedic conclusion of all the scriptures, and he has a love for all living entities. So this was a perfection for Dhruva, that he was able to do this, and that he was able to see Krishna face to face. Okay, let me continue here. The planet awarded to Prince Dhruva Maharaj is a fixed Vaikuntha planet, installed in the material atmosphere by the will of the Supreme Lord Vasudeva. This planet, although within the material world, will not be annihilated at the time of devastation, but will remain fixed in its place. And because it is a Vaikuntha planet, never to be annihilated, it is worshipped even by the denizens of the seven stars situated below the Dhruva planet, as well as by the planets which are even above the Dhruva planet. Mars Bhrigu's planet is situated above the Dhruva planet. So the Lord incarnated himself as Prishnagarbha just to satisfy a pure devotee of the Lord. And Prince Dhruva achieved this perfection simply by chanting the hymn mentioned above after being initiated by another pure devotee, Narada. A serious personality can thus achieve the highest perfection of meeting the Lord and attain his objective simply by being guided by a pure devotee who automatically approaches by dint of one's serious determination to meet the Lord by all means. The description of Prince Dhruva's activities can be read in detail in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So also as significant is that when Dhruva decided to go to the forest that he meets Narada. Narada comes and he knows everything that happened. He understands everything that happened, and Prabhupada explains this because he's Tri Kalagya, that he understands the past, the present, and the future. So he knows everything that happened with Dhruva, and he says, you know, Dhruva, don't worry about it. I mean, you're only 5 years old, so what if she said that? Just ignore it and go on. And many of us probably, do we deal with things. Has anybody here ever been offended? Raise your hand if sometime you've been offended. Okay, so quite a few. I know I could keep my hand up for a while. So yeah, definitely, it's easy to be offended. So Dhruva, when Narada said this, and Narada preached to him, you know, about, you know, just let it go. But he was unable to do that, you know, because he was a Kshatriya, because he had this inherent determination. He wasn't able to do that. And he said, I just want to have a planet that's greater, you know, a throne on a planet that's greater than my father, King Uttanapada, and even my grandfather, Swayambhuva Manu, and even my great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. So he's from a great family of great devotees who have attained amazing things. Like last time I spoke, we spoke about Lord Brahma and how he was the creator of the whole universe. So at first Narada tried to dissuade them, but he realized that Dhruva was determined. Then he gave him instruction. He actually initiated Dhruva. So that's how important it is, if we want to become a pure devotee, to have a spiritual master that can help us. Of course, Dhruva's first spiritual master was really who? Who was his first spiritual master? Yes. In one sense, it's true. It was a stepmother, because she said, you have to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? So his stepmom and his mom were really his first gurus, his Shiksha gurus. And Prabhupada says in the purport that there's not much of a difference between the Shiksha guru and the Diksha guru, that they're both very important. So he's able to maintain his determination until he sees the Supreme Person of Godhead. And he's able to give up any residual material desire that he has. Now, generally, we're told that as devotees, we shouldn't want anything material, right? It's kind of a waste of time to want something material. But it also says that if you have a strong desire for something material, who should you go to? Should you go to the demigods? Yes? Is that okay? Yes.
Krishna?
You should go to Krishna, that's right. Kama Sarva Kamava, Moksha Karma Dharadik, that whatever you want, you should still go to Krishna, knowing that the supreme goal is to achieve love of Godhead. And like Dhruva, when he became totally self-realized and when he saw Krishna, he gave up all of his material desires. He no longer had any desire. So I thought for a minute we can kind of study some other case histories of devotees who have been in difficult situations. One is with King Ambarish and Durvasa, where King Ambarish, he had been fasting with his wife for some time and performing great austerity. So when it came time for him to give up his fast and take prasadam, Durvasa Muni appeared on the scene. And Ambarish invited him to come and take prasadam. But Durvasa Muni said, "Well, okay, thank you so much, but let me go take bath first, and then I'll come back." So while Durvasa Muni went and took bath, it was taking some time, Ambarish Maharaj, the time for him to break fast came, and it's very important for some of these fasts, the time. So the time came, and Durvasa wasn't there, so he consulted with some brahmanas, because if you're not sure what to do, then it's always the best thing to consult the brahmanas. And the brahmanas said, anybody know what the brahmanas said in this case? Yes? Right, just drink a cup of water. And that's like breaking your fast and not breaking your fast. But when Durvasa Muni came back, and sometimes these sages, they perform so many austerities, they actually become a little hard-hearted. And Prabhupada explains that. If you perform too many austerities without maybe focusing on the love of Krishna, you can become a little hard-hearted. So he comes in, because of the mystic power, he's able to understand that in this case, that he's broken his fast. He says, "What? Look at you, you're so offensive. You know, you think you're God or something. You broke the fast before your guests came. That's against all rules." And Maharaj Ambarish, without being able to explain himself, all of a sudden Durvasa Muni pulls out a tuft of hair, and this big demon looking like the fire of death appears. And how does King Ambarish react to that? Can you imagine? There you are. You haven't done anything wrong. This huge demon looking like the fire of death appears, and it's after you. How does he feel about that? King Ambarish. Can anybody say? Yes. Right. He prays to Krishna, and he's always praying to Krishna, so he completely takes shelter of Krishna. And he's not afraid. He's like, okay, whatever Krishna wants. If Krishna wants this demon to kill me, that's okay. But Krishna, because he cares so much as devotees, he just kills the demon. He takes out his Sudarshan Chakra, and that Sudarshan Chakra starts going after Durvasa. So what a change of pace, right? The Sudarshan Chakra starts following Durvasa. So Durvasa goes, you know, he goes to the heavenly planets, he goes here, he goes to Sitaloka, he goes to Shiva, everywhere he's going, trying to escape the Sudarshan, and he can't escape it. He can feel the heat. He can feel it coming after him. So finally, where does he go? Finally, where does he go? Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni, finally, he's got so much mystic power that he's able to enter the spiritual world. And he goes to Lord Narayan and he pays the debt. He says, "Please help me. Please help me. This Sudarshan is going to get me. Please tell him to stop." So, what does Lord Narayan say? Does anybody know what he says?
"I can't."
He says, "I can't." Why can't he do that? I mean, of course he could if he wanted, but he says, "I am so controlled by the love of my devotees that if you have committed an offense against my devotee, You have to go to that devotee, and you have to ask forgiveness from that devotee in order to be forgiven. So after Vasamuni goes again, down through this planetary system, that planetary system, this one, that one, and he goes to Maharaj Ambarish, and he falls at his feet, and is Ambarish, Maharaj, is he like, ha, 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 just see what happened to you. Look at you. Look at what happened to you. Because, you know, is that what happens? Is he glad, King Ambarish, that Durvasamuni is getting this punishment? No, he's not. He's sorry. And that shows the heart of a pure devotee. What does a pure devotee really want for the demons? What does he really want for the demons? Yeah, he wants everybody to be purified. He wants everybody to go back to God. He wants everybody to have a pure heart. So because of that, he prays Sudarshan Chakra, please. You know, this Durvasamuni, he's a great sage. Please forgive him. Please call off Sudarshan Chakra and let him go free. So Durvasamuni, he is amazed at this, right? He's amazed at this. And he is so impressed with King Ambarish that he glorifies him. Now I can see how the devotee of the Lord is the most exalted person. No one is more exalted than the devotee of the Lord, because nobody can be like that. Nobody can forgive like that. And nobody can be exalted like that. So Ambarish Maharaj invites him to take prasadam, and then Durvasa invites him to take prasadam, and it all ends happily. Just like the story in Chaitanya Leela, when Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya and, you know, Jagai Madhai are assaulting Lord Nityananda, and Lord Chaitanya is ready to throw the Sudarshan Chakra, and Lord Nityananda says, don't. And what happens because of that? What happens because of that? Yeah, look, that Jagai and Madhai, they have a change of heart. They're like, wow, look at, he's forgiving us. You know, so it doesn't matter how old you are. You can be 5 years old, and you can be 15 years old, and you can be 25 years old, or 50 years old, or 70 years old. We all have that capacity to always be taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we all have that capacity to be able to be loving and forgiving of offenses, to not take offense. So it's when it says surrender under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what exactly does that mean? What does that look like? Say, okay, surrender the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What does that look like? Somebody. Where's those little guys? They always raise their hands. Don't be afraid to raise your hand. Just anything. What does it look like? You say, okay, I'm going to surrender the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What might that look like? What might you do to show that you're a little surrendered? Young, old, anybody. Yes. Okay, and how would you even start to do that? Because it's easy to say. Okay, and what helps? Good, you're totally on the right track. So you give up your bad habits. Yes. Chant the holy name, right? Chant the holy name, because that purifies the heart. Yes, Purushottama. Daily worship. That gives that sadhana, gives us the strength, right? To be able to do the right thing. So all of those things, it's helping us to learn how to surrender and to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like Dhruva did. Okay, let me just finish this purport, because last time I didn't. So the Lord incarnated himself as Prishnagarbha just to satisfy a pure devotee of the Lord. And Prince Dhruva achieved this perfection simply by chanting the hymn mentioned above after being initiated by another pure devotee, Narada. Maybe I did finish it. Okay. So this is one example. We have the example of Durvasamuni, and we have the example of Ambarish Maharaj. We have the example of Dhruva. And there's another story of Chitraketu and Lord Shiva and Parvati. Now, Lord Shiva and Parvati, they were sitting in an assembly of great sages. And Lord Shiva was sitting there, and his very beautiful wife Parvati was sitting on his lap in front of all these great sages. So King Chitraketu, he was flying in his airplane, beautiful Vimana airplane with flowers, and he looked down and he saw that, and he laughed. How did Lord Shiva react? He didn't care at all. He was fine with it. But how did Parvati react? She was angry. Like, how dare you laugh at Lord Shiva and I? So she cursed him. She cursed him to take the body of a demon. And how did Chitraketu, King Chitraketu, react to that? Did he say, okay, you curse me, I curse you? Because many things, we've seen other instances in the Bhagavatam where I curse you and I curse you, and it's just like a big cursing festival. But King Chitraketu, he doesn't do that. He apologizes to King Parvati, Queen Parvati, he apologizes to her, but it's too late. She doesn't or can't reverse the curse. And he accepts it. He said, because this is something due to Daivi Natrena. This is ordained by superior authority. So sometimes things happen in our life that we don't like, that we don't understand, and we don't want it, but it happens. So sometimes we think, it's not fair. Did anybody ever think that? Somebody happened to think, that's not fair. Why is that happening to me? Generally, people think that a lot. You know, something bad happens. Somebody gets sick. Somebody dies. You know, someone who thought you was your friend betrays you. Anytime, anything can happen in this material world. But the trick is to understand that Krishna is in charge of everything. And if we take shelter of Krishna, you know what it said about Mother Suniti said to Dhruva, and Dhruva was so upset and feeling so hurt. She said, you know, Dhruva, the kindness that I can give you after what's happened to you is nothing compared to the kindness of that Krishna can give you. Krishna has the kindness and affection of millions of mothers that will all come on you if you take shelter of him. So that is always an option for us. We can always take shelter of Krishna no matter what happens, and understand that we may not feel it immediately, but we will feel it. As we, like Purushottama mentioned, we practice a daily sadhana. Sometimes it's a real relief when we're going through a difficult situation. We come to the temple, we look at the deities, and we pray to the deities. Sometimes it's a great relief to be able to sit down with the devotees and take prasadam, or to go to class and hear our teachers teach us about Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Also, the association of devotees is invaluable. You know, sometimes we're having a difficult situation and we can take shelter of maybe not all the devotees, but some of the devotees. I hope I'm not going to embarrass you, Janardhan. I probably am. But, you know, I was talking with Janardhan because I taught Janardhan when he was like 5 and 6 years old, way back when. And when I saw him today, like all shaved up, and he's going to nursing school, I felt so proud of him. So I said, wow, Janardhan, you know, you're going to school and you're just putting yourself right out there for everybody. You're not trying to hide it. I'm a devotee. I've got a seeker. So I asked him, you know, well, what is it like? What do people say? And he said, you know, people are pretty nice about it. They're curious. They might ask a question. But the beauty of Janardhan's courage and willing to show everybody he's a devotee, that it purifies everyone. Because seeing a devotee with, you know, tilak and sika like that, automatically people, they make benefit just from that. And just like the night before last, I was going to Hitchcock's and it was kind of late. It was like 6:30, it was already dark, but I had to get a couple of things before the next morning. And I bought some tofu, so when I went through the line, the checkout lady said to me, well, what is this, and what do you do with it? And I said, well, it's tofu, and you can, you know, cut it up, and you can, like, air fry it or stir fry it with vegetables, and it's so good. And she said, you know, I used to be a vegan, but then I stopped. But then my father-in-law, he brought home some roadkill. Does anybody know what roadkill is? Yes. Yes, like somebody runs over a deer or runs over a raccoon or an armadillo and they bring it home and they cook it and they eat it. Yeah. So this woman in the checkout, she could not handle that. And she said, I'm going back. I want to be a vegetarian again. So usually I have books on my car, but my car already had a bad tire, so I didn't have it. So she said, my name, she told me her name, and she said, I told her I'll bring her a book. So I am going to bring her a vegetarian cookbook and some other books that she can read. So you never know how Krishna's going to arrange a situation to bring Krishna into their lives. Like, you figure the whole city and even County Velatra has been so positively effective. Has anybody ever gone to the springs, for example, Blue Springs, and not seen any devotee? Did you ever go to the springs and not see a devotee? It seldom happens. There's so many devotees there. You can't get away from them. You go to the post office. You go to the post office, and there's devotees. You go to the store, and there's devotees. So this is very, very purifying. And when we're dressed as devotees, it gives us an opportunity for people, first of all, to look at us and think, oh, these devotees, they're very nice. They're very kind, you know, and they're very clean and they're very neat. So that's our duty, to learn how to surrender the Supreme Person of Godhead, to take example of these personalities in the Bhagavatam, you know, and learn what it looks like to surrender and learn what it looks like to be able to forgive offenses, to be able to forgive someone who insults us. And also, when you think about it, you know, how we can help others if we hear somebody else being, let's say, bullied, or somebody else being insulted. What could we possibly do in that situation? Someone in your class is being bullied or insulted. What could we do? Come on, guys. What could we do? Just stand there. Yes. You could call the teacher, that's right, that's one. You know, maybe you don't want anybody to know, you go to the teacher and you explain what you heard. Or maybe you would actually say, you know, that's not very nice, but then maybe you're afraid of getting bullied yourself, so after that you go to the person who's being insulted and you say, I'm sorry that happened to you, that wasn't right, and, you know, and then you repeat the story of Dhruva and how Dhruva dealt with his own insult. So the Bhagavatam is full of stories like this. And of course, just having, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, in Divisions of Faith, it talks about speech and what is in the mode of goodness, what's in the mode of passion, what's in the mode of ignorance. So it says, austere speech in the mode of goodness, it's truthful, it's pleasing, it's beneficial, and it's not agitating to others. So what we say, that vibration of our words goes into the ether and it travels around. When we chant, that travels around. Prabhupada said it purifies the entire universe. So we have so much power with our words and our deeds. You know, we have to always remember what we have. So I think I'm just going to stop here. And if anybody has any question, maybe I'll just tell a short story from Chaitanya Lila about a little boy. His name was Gopal. And once Gopal, who was also like 5 years old, he was looking at Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was trying to cover his mouth. Anybody know why he was trying to cover his mouth, Lord Chaitanya? He was trying to cover his mouth because he was going to go to the bathroom. And he didn't want to chant while he was going to the bathroom, but he couldn't stop. So Gopal said, Lord Chaitanya, you don't have to do that. It's always the right thing. When you chant Hare Krishna, it doesn't matter. You're going to the bathroom, you're taking a bath, you know, you're digging in the dirt. Still, it's always a good time to chant Hare Krishna. So at that point, Lord Chaitanya gives him a new name. Does anybody know what his new name is? Gopal Guru. Gopal Guru, that's right. He becomes Gopal Guru because he gave that instruction to Lord Chaitanya. So Don't be afraid to be like Janardan, to put yourself right out there. You know, let everybody know who you are, to speak the truth. You know, there's so much to be said for speaking the truth and not, and trying, instead of just fitting in, you know, try to do what's right. Okay, anybody have any question, any comment, anything they want to add? Now's the time to do it. Yes, Shankar.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Mother Sukada Prabhu.
Thank you.
How to foster determination?
Okay, how to foster determination. So I think it just goes back, a lot of it. I mean, of course, Dhruva, he had the benefit, some would say benefit, some would say hindrance, of being born in a Kshatriya family, so that it came along with the package. But, you know, just like Purushottam was mentioning, daily practice of sadhana, that's helpful in gaining determination, association of devotees, and sometimes doing all the little things, you know, watering tulsi every day, because when you water tulsi, of course, it relieves us of any offenses that we've made, you know, past or present. So that's very helpful. Of course, reading scripture, that's also very helpful. Like when I read the story of Dhruva again, some things really stood out. Like, not that, you know, you want to wish anything bad for anybody, but sometimes if somebody hurts you, your first reaction is you want to get even with them. You know, you're like, you want to say something back, but maybe you don't, maybe you do. But when you understand that if you do that, you're bringing badness upon yourself, then you don't do it. So there's so much to learn from reading scripture. There's so much to learn from associating with other devotees and getting counsel from other devotees. If you're having a difficult time in some way and you're not sure what to do or how to handle it, maybe there's a teacher you can go to, you know, and confide in them. This is what's happening in my life and I don't know what to do, you know, or to, you know, a parent or a friend of a parent, somebody who you trust, some people you really trust, and then you can confide in them. So I think that's where determination really comes from. Yes. Does that help, Saranga Thakur Prabhu?
Yes, thank you. Okay. It's mentioned in Mahabharata, this one verse, that if a person, you know, criticizes you or chastises you in an offensive way, and you don't do anything, you actually reap their pious benefits.
Thank you. That is so wonderful. Actually, in the story of the Lord Shiva and Parvati, when Parvati curses King Chitraketu, Lord Shiva, he glorifies King Chitraketu. He said, look, Parvati, with all your beauty and glory, look how King Chitraketu, he's not offended. He's just accepting the curse as something that Krishna is bringing him. He's not upset at all. So that is a very good point. If you don't feel offended and you're able to just accept it, because some things, you know, they seem bad, but actually something good comes from it. Sometimes things seem good, but something actually bad comes from it. So we never know why something's happening, but we do know that Krishna is our best friend, and we do know that Krishna is arranging our life in such a way that he wants us to come back home, back to Godhead, more than we want to go back home, back to Godhead. So that's a very important point. Thank you. Anything else?
And you get their, some of their punya, and they get some bad karma from you. If they insult you.
Oh.
You, and the seven stars that they were talking about in the report, that's the Big Dipper. And Dhruvaloka is the Nar Star.
Okay.
And the Big Dipper, those seven stars are the seven sages. The great, forget the names. And the Big Dipper points to Dhruvaloka also. And the Big Dipper goes around Dhruvaloka.
Thank you.
In fact, everything goes around Dhruva Loka.
Yeah. Pretty amazing because it's a spiritual planet, material world, kind of unique, you know?
It doesn't get destroyed at the time of...
Yeah, it doesn't get destroyed at the time of annihilation. So, and that Lord Prishnagarb did that just for Dhruva, just for his pure devotee. So the Lord's very anxious to serve his pure devotee. And ourselves who are aspiring to be pure devotees. Yes, Saranga Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Just a couple of things. Vaisheshika Prabhu has a video on YouTube. I think it's titled 10 Ways to Foster Determination. You know, he gets details.
Yeah.
And some of them are like, don't neglect to do what you can do, even if you can't do everything.
Okay.
And he was really big on making a plan, eliminating distractions, work within natural laws, things like that. It was very helpful.
Working within natural laws.
Yeah, I don't quite know what he meant
okay.
by that. But
yeah.
And the other thing I noticed in the purport that Prabhupada seemed to use the word planets and stars synonymously.
Uh-huh.
And in the Bhagavad Gita, the moon is described as
a star. Yeah. Interesting. True. Okay, if there's nothing else, thank you so much. Hare Krishna.